This is Tim Prizer for the South Georgia Folklife Project. This is my tape 03.3. I'm sitting on the front porch of the home of Mr. Elliot West in Folkston, Georgia. And we are also, Mr. West and I are also joined by Mr. Eddie Lee Sipp. We're going to be talking today about their lives in turpentine. Okay, now I did tell the two of you how these tapes are going to be stored, and that's okay with both of you in the Valdosta State Library and all that. If you could first, Mr. West, what day were you born?
I was born in 27th of August.
Okay.
That's being, I told you I'd be 82 years old. The 27th is coming next month.
Uh-huh. And where were you born?
In Magnus County, Dayrun. Okay. Dayrun is the county seat.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I was born.
All right. And you, Mr. Sipp?
I was born in 1936, the 50 of August, in Vernon, Florida. And I'd be 67 this year, over the field.
How old were each of you, you can decide who talks first, each of you when you first moved into a turpentine camp?
Well, of course I can remember now. Well, that's before I was big enough to wake up when I started to wake, which is what you mean.
I mean, when did you first move into a turpentine? How young were you when you started living in a turpentine camp?
Well, I really don't know. I can remember I was on a turpentine job. I was 28. I know I was on 26. I said 27, 26. I was on a turpentine job. But now I don't know anything that's lower than that. I couldn't tell you. I was born in 1920 and 27th of August. So my daddy raised us on turpentine. When I could remember anything, I was on a turpentine job. At Vendig. That's in Brantley County.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I went to school. Last school in the place. That ain't got, it went much and I had to stop working.
And how about you, Mr. Sipp?
I remember turpentine back in 1947. Before then, my father lived in Valdosta, Florida, lived on the railroad, so we moved from Valdosta to San Mateo, Florida. In 1947, we moved to Roy, Florida, there, for the tilt. Then when I started working turpentine, I went to work with daddy with a blowgun, you know, with a pipe on the gun. He pulled him out and blew the ass on the tree. And I remember the ass, turpentine started when I remember, with a bog hat. Back in 47, I can remember that.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many turpentine camps have each of you lived on in your lifetime, if you could estimate?
I'm going to tell you, I've been on a heap of them. Some of my heap of them. Well, after I left my daddy, I left him in 37, got out of his house. We were staying out to a place called Hop in the Still out from Granderville. That's in Wayne County. And I left from that end and went to Hummerville in 37. I left and we wound up going to Hummerville up there with Bruce Douglas. He had a camp. I moved up there. I was staying with my cousin. I done left my daddy. And just been traveling from one turpentine camp to another.
How about you?
I went to North Florida out there. I started working when I was 11 years old. And there were some big boys out there in the wood, you know. So I couldn't keep up with them. So, but I went in there, the man made a 24-time bucket. It took me a whole week to get 24 buckets, get half a barrel of gum. And so about a couple of weeks, the boss man, Mr. Cross, he made a wagon for us, a younger boy, about 7 of us. To work together, and the 18, 19-year-old boy worked together on their way. So we started doing it like that. So I stayed with mama then until I got 16 years old, and I left home. I claimed a place called Denny, Florida, and I worked there about a year. And I left from Denny, Florida, went to ADL, Georgia, and worked at the box factory right there. And then I left there and came back home on Saturday night. So my mother And that Sunday morning I left, went to Burnell, Florida down there. And I got married there in 1955, November the 5th. At that time I was down there, I met the Elder West down there at the time. So I got married, and I came back again, back to Royal Florida, to work there. I did about 2 years, and after that, and I came to K.S. Barnard there. He moved me from Royal Florida to Ever City, Georgia down there. We went down there about 2 years, didn't we?
Yeah.
About 2 years down there.
He went for the barn?
For the barn. I went down there about 2 years, and they moved it back to Hoboken. And I stayed down with Frank Duke. About, I think about 2 or 3 years. I moved back down here to Corrine, Georgia, waiting for K.S. Barnard again. He had Corrine down there, waiting for them. So I waited for them a while, then, Kenneth Hill got the place then. So I was working to him.
Tell me about the normal work day in the camps. What time would you normally be awake and then out into the woods?
You mean when I wake up in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
To go to work?
Mm-hmm.
I generally be awake by 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, that's I got to do that now. Get up about the same time. Sometimes get up here at 4 o'clock. Knowing I ain't going to work, but I just got this train to go, you know. We don't go to work 4 o'clock, but I get up and cook and get ready, you know.
When you were living in the Turpentine camps, who made your breakfast and what was your breakfast normally?
Well, breakfast, well, cooking for myself now, but when I had my wife, we generally eat some rice sometimes, and peas, beans, and one thing or another, cornbread. That's in the morning, and then I carry bread to the work. I don't hardly carry no ball food. So I don't still carry none when I'm working. But bread or saltine, since I got single, I always carry saltine cookies. But then time I work down around here, so saltine cookies, some kind of cookies, but won't be no ball food. But I eat ball food at home, because it's sour, you know. Which I have bread, bologna, sausage, and peanut butter and stuff like that. That's a lunch.
Would you be awake about the same time, Mr.
Seth? Yeah, about the same time.
Yeah.
You get up. Because when I work, I don't have to be late from work. And I always be on time. And Mr. West, we work here for the days at the records up there. I don't care what time. What time he say he's going to be up, he be up. I never had to wait on him. And I must always be on time, too. If he knock off in the woods, the time he can knock off, he'll be there. He'll be there on time now, like I do. I say, I'll be to be about 12:30, about 12:25.
See, now that kind of work, we wasn't working by no hour.
No.
We just worked piece work. We set a time when we're going. Set a time and we're coming back.
What were breaks like in the woods when you would take a break from the work in the woods? What kind of things would you do or talk about?
Well, I'll be by myself. I just generally sit down sometime, about 30 minutes sometime. Sometime not that long, go back to work. I eat my lunch and take me a break because I stop and eat. Sometime I stand up and eat my lunch. Snack, what I mean, and go on and go back to work. Then sometime I have a more lazy feeling, I might stay an hour or so, you know, that's what I'd be feeling. Might have somebody with me sometime, we'll talk a little bit, but it'd be about term time that they do. You like to end it, you know.
What time of day were you normally done with work and would go back to the quarters?
Well, we average sometime around 3 on that Friday, ain't it? About 3 in there.
About 3.
He about done all you want to do. In the woods, you know, it's pretty hot.
Would you go to the commissary after that, or?
Well, we ain't had no commissary in a few years back. Always buy my groceries at the store now, then. But they have had commissary. I always buy my groceries on weekend, but now and then I get something out of the store for the week. When they did have a commissary. I never did like to go every time you're going to commissary. But it's been so long since I've been around the commissary. I think the last commissary I've been down to us to stand at 8 miles still from Wake, from Hummerville. I worked out there. That man had a commissary, but I hardly ever go over there and buy anything. He had a little grocery, like flour or something like that, but the way I grew up, we go to Hummerville. Sometimes I go there about once or twice a week, maybe pick up some canned goods or something like that, just to be doing some saltine cookies or something like that.
Now, waking up this early in the camps, who would get you up? Who would wake you up?
Myself. Well, I do that now. I can get up 4 o'clock right now. Because I got my sense of time. I got a clock. I can look right at it to lay in the bed. I can get up 3 o'clock if I want, or 4 o'clock anytime. And I don't need no clock to get up by, but I just want to know what time it is.
Yeah.
I'll be up at the same time. 4 o'clock every morning I'm open. I have got a free supper.
Was there ever a shack rouser or a guy who came through and woke workers up in the morning? Or, I mean, I know you didn't need that, but did other workers have trouble waking up that early?
I have been on quarters, what you call a quarter, a bunch of houses, all stay together. Some men, some quite a few men, and now you have to wake up. The boss man used to come around and blow the horn. I've been on quarters like that, but he never had to blow it to get me up. A lot of times, he couldn't blow it up, be done at breakfast.
He just blow the truck horn?
Yeah, go around, you know, from house. Some people, you know, sleep late, and they lay there till the last minute. You don't wake them up. But now,
how about before there were trucks? How did they wake them up when they rode through them?
Well, when I was on to my daddy wake us up. That's what called me to learn how to get up. You know, he wake me up when I was a little boy, and I trained to get we both. But he make us get out of bed now and go to work till I got, you know, big enough and I'll be ready to go, Nika. But we walked to work. In them days, I worked on 10-time job. I don't know what a ride was. Just walk 5 and 6 and 7 miles to work. I have told about a sack of groceries, 5 miles and 6, on my shoulder.
Now, what were the woods riders like in the camps where you worked?
Well, they had a man just go around on a horse. And check your boxes, you know, see what you're doing, see if you're leaving any boxes, and check on you too.
What would happen if you had left boxes?
He wants you to go back and get it, you know. Like leave a tree, that, you know, if the tree values something, you know, you run past it up, he wants you to go back and get it. And then if you're paying by the thousand or something, he'll dock you for it, or hold up your time on. But take me, I try to get every tree I can find. But sometimes I like to have a man there who to check on, but we started working later, we didn't have no man. Just come through sometimes to pick us up. But to be our own boss. Yeah, we had to stay on job with man, and our boss man to go around every morning at a certain time and blow the horn all through the quarter. My daddy stayed on job. I was real young then. The man come every morning, he had the same time to blow the horn. But he never had to wake my daddy up. So I was the same way, I raised it that way. But a lot of them are late at the last minute and trying to go to work. They got to get up out of their bed. And work. I don't want a man to get me out of bed to go to work.
Did most workers get along with the woods riders okay, or?
Yes, they had a few sometimes, but most of them, they all get along pretty good. Well, I always had one that I couldn't suit him. I knew what I'd do, get up and move away from there. That's what I do.
Do you recall any stories, any times where you didn't get along with the woods rider and you had to leave, or that another worker didn't get along with the woods rider?
I didn't have to leave just dry along through, but I mean I had some that I couldn't have suit. He'll come to you 1 week, some tempting in my woodsman is aggravating a few, and I work on a few. You'll come 1 week, well, you need to set your streak up a little bit. And then you come next week, set it a little cross, and that kept on aggravating me, and I said, well, I'm fixing to set it now, because I'm gone. That's 3 or 4 times. Every time he come, he got a little different. You be doing your work right, but he always has had something. Couldn't suit him, but we suit him, we move away from that. See, that's what I mean. I never did like old kind of jump on them. No, none of them got all this right away. And if I couldn't sue them, I mean, what did they leave? That's their job. The most of them, I was the one that don't want me to go. I just take off and move anyway. I move, you know, so I'm gone. Well, I hate to see you go. Offer me a bunch of money and all that. I had someone that give me $100, $200 to stay. Just tell me if you stayed a year down, I'd give you $200. I want to do that. They give me $100 then, I gave the other $100 Christmas. You finished the year out with me. So when Christmas come, he come by my house and hand me $100. You know what this means? If you stayed a year. So I went one more time, I went to go, he gave me $125. That's the same man. It's like my work that good. Because he depend on me.
Did that work when he tried to pay you? Did you stay or did you still go?
I stayed at the end of my stay on the year out. And then when I did, the lease went out where he was there and had another camp. He had three camps. Just the Hummelville. He had a place called Cockdale. You ever heard tell of it? Well, he had a camp there. Then he had one to the 8 miles still, that's out from Hummelville. Then he had the 5 mile, that's the headquarters. And I stayed to the 8. So the 8 mile still went down just 4 hours of the festival. And he wanted me to move to the 5. But the first time when I was going to move, I was going out in the woods, out in the country, and work some on half, not too close. And he gave me $200 not to go.
Now, when the barrels of gum had been collected, how were they transported to the still?
With the truck. We got trucks to pick it up, and we'll have a dip wagon, a dip on, what you call a hook wagon, a tractor hook to it, dip on, then to dump it on the ground. A lot of times, I load it off the wagon on the truck, but back the truck up, and turn it off the wagon. A lot of them have a bunch of ground.
Now, you, both of you probably remember a time when mules and wagons were used more so than...
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. I used to ride the woods on the wagon. A lot of times we'd be going walking. But my daddy said, well, the wagon going this morning be going to Dipper that I was about to. That's so we'd catch the wagon for a lot of money. But we don't pin on that. We'd catch in that morning, probably had to walk that evening too. But that'll help us out. A lot of times, not a lot of walking. Wagon go to another route next time. See, they dip this piece and dip in my piece, we catch the wagon. And a lot of times when the wagon get out, we be working. Yeah, I come up the hard way with that empire. Had to roll it up with skids on the wagon, that's a job. Had to put skid and put it on the tail end of the wagon. That wagon is high, you know. Back wheel was way up in the air. And you had to roll there. I mean, I was small. I'd get in the middle sometimes. And I have rolled it up by myself.
Now, I've heard it said that there's no smarter animal in the world than a turpentine mule. Is that true?
I imagine not, because they have to do some hard work.
What types of things would they do to prove their intelligence?
What you mean by all?
Did they respond to commands, or what types of things would they?
Some of them respond to you, or you get go on the wagon, you call them, you come to you and stop.
Yeah, it's a
few. Some of them do that.
It's a few mules who can call them.
And some people couldn't catch. It take 1 minute to catch that mule. You want to come to you.
Yeah, some mules with certain men, you can't do nothing with them. Uh-huh. But the regular head man, he can handle them.
Yeah.
And got to learn that one, but a new man, and then there's some mule anybody can drive.
You put that there lock.
Yeah. Some mule anybody can drive them gentle, and you can hook him up, you can hook him up. But some will look at you and turn their foot, you know what you mean, you better get out of the way.
Do you remember any jokes or stories that workers would tell about the mules in the woods?
No, I don't know too many. Not about no mule.
You, Mr. Sipp?
I know one about the mule and the ox. And so the mule had to go out of work every day, you know, and the ox told him one day, he said, well, you got to work today. And the mule told him, one day they're going to bush you. And the ox said, my high, I'd be a 10 out of 2 behind the rest of your life.
Yeah, I heard that, but I heard people talking it for me. I ain't that mama. Well, that mule, that cowhide is a, that's the whip, you know, what you make the whip. And that's what they beat the mule with when they don't do right, so that's the oxhide.
Need to work to get every morning. I walk about 3 or 4 miles to work every morning. I walk back. I'm about 22 or 23 years old then. And somebody, he wouldn't work somewhere. He'd be there, but he'd be working, you know. And I could not beat him out. And I knew I could chip a lot of trees, but when he come around that point, he'd be beat on gone. After the wood guy, he seen West, the rest don't go home. I did it 3 times. And I couldn't do it.
I was drinking and bad, and some Mondays I laid out. That's the reason I worked the 7 times, because I was going to keep like working. I won't take the government job. I work like I want. I'd be sick. I wouldn't lay down all day.
I just couldn't
that's
get
the
it.
Truth.
But I had to chip 1,500 a day. I'd go chip 1,000 every morning for 12 o'clock and come back home. People asked me, said, do you work? I said, yeah, I work. Every time I see you dressed up, I kept my truck in the woods, changed clothes. Take a bath in a big water hole and put my clean clothes on, come on out and go out of town there. People said,
yeah, I do the same thing.
So do you work? Yeah, I work. I said, I'm paying for a house and a car if I don't be working. I said, I don't sell no drugs. That's a question like that. But I be working though. Because I'm a fast worker. He's a fast worker. I was born all you born over. Me ain't got the same idea like a horse school. I don't like a lot of fuss. I don't like to be around a crowd of people. I owe somebody, I'm going to pay that money to them. And I don't want my stuff free. I like to get on my own. I always got my stuff on my own. That's where I always have been. I'm independent on that kind of stuff. And I had to work with white people and my boss man. If they say a word to me that I don't like, I give it back to them. Because I didn't play with none of them. They treat me like I treat you. I want you to holler at me, I'm holler at you.
No, I don't like that.
That's the way I
live. And all that bigoted let you go.
Do either of you remember any stories about where you were presented with that type of that type of talk from a white man or from a boss or from a woods rider and you had to stand up for yourself?
I just pick it up, some kind of way. I just pick it up. But I never had too much trouble with none of them.
I worked with one curse every word he said, some bad word. That's what it happened. But then I had one or two curse. Crew us be working, you know. Yeah, us working. He come out to y'all and then doing such a damn this and this, that thing. I said, hey, wait a minute. I picked to say something. I said, look at him. He said, well, I ain't talking. I said, you said y'all. I said, well, you tell them what I'm working to, what to do that. If don't, I'll quit. So he told me from then on, he called me out. Said, now I don't be talking about you. I said, well, okay, now I understand you. So I said, I'd be ready to go right then.
One Saturday morning, our boss man, he told the guy wants some money, you know. Y'all got to go to work. Look how they for laying the money. And my older brother was there. I told him, I'll get on that truck. I said, he ain't going to work this morning. He got to be ready to get the money. I said, get on the truck. I smacked you down from there, too. He told me to go get the back out. You go get the back out. Never work when you got no money. I said, I got some money by far. You got to go out there work when you got no money. I said, I go to town. Never work any time. He told me I must be at the blackhead. I get it back to him. I feel for myself. And I've been that way.
Yeah, I have worked with a few of them want to be kind of rough. Some of them.
And I've been scared of them either. I've never been scared of them. This is not the reason I see it right back to him. I shoot it back to him, same way shoot me.
And still, they want to try to make you go to work on them.
Yeah.
I wind up working for them. So I laid off one Monday. I told him, I said, well, I don't feel like going today. He said, well, you know, I told you about this working on me. He said, well, work. I said, well, I told you I done got drunk and I don't feel like working. I just told him playing. Kept standing there. He said, well, go get your shirt and put on that on the same clothes I had on Saturday in the road talking to him that Monday morning. I said, well, I don't even able to do no work at all. I said, so yeah.
All right, what type of things would y'all use as medicines in the camp? What different types of things did you have as medicines?
3 sixes, 6 to 6, what you call it, for fever, castor, and black draws. That's what they're leading.
Now, was turpentine ever used for medicine?
Well, turpentine, we used to put in castor along with, since they put this acid out, we don't mess with it.
What type of things would people use turpentine for as a medicine?
For rubbing and putting castor oil. I put in castor oil and rubbing.
Ever on any cuts or?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Cutting and rubbing. I put it in turpentine in bath water for sore, like you get sore. You sore all over. That helped too.
Well, my mother, she used to take some sugar and put in a frying pan, that white sugar, and she'd make a pill out of it. She'd put it in quinine, you take and stir it up. She stirred so long, and then you get to a bad cold. It'll break that cold up. But she told me not never try to do that. She called it poison strychnine. You overdo it, and it's poison. She used to do that. You get that cramp a lot. Stuff with medicine. Big little leaves, that out the water, and a leaf called mother. Put it on his forehead, you got to feed right up.
Yeah, them days people didn't have no doctors.
No,
like it,
that stuff like that.
My grandmother and them fever, they cure us with just lily leaves and put something across your head and put vinegar and I think salt and something. We dump that in and put it up there in a rag. Mm-hmm. And that stuff draw the fever and cook that off. That leaf.
It turned brown too.
It looked like chilled tobacco when you get through the fever.
That's been about 4 years ago, maybe 3 now. I had an ulcer in my stomach, right? And I went to Dr. Rico down to give me a full examination because I had an ulcer. And I couldn't hardly eat nothing to eat. My stomach just hurt down there. And I was scared to eat. I used to eat that noodle soup in the can, you know, and blackberry. And so one day, I never get there. I called Mama, told Mama my stomach kept worrying me. You know. She said, I had an ulcer. She told me what to do. She said, go get you some fat lot of wood. I got some wood home now. From that same one. Get some fat lot of wood and make a fire, put tin over it. And get that suck off of that can, put a teacup, and eat that suck and start that suck. So I put a liner back in the stomach. So you got to get rid of it. You do it about 4 or 5 times. So I did that. But when I thought about it, I'm in the woods then when I thought about it again. But she had told me to, I had a Dodge truck. So I took one of the hook up from the truck, went around and made a fire in the wood, put my hook up on there, and got that stuff. See, but don't eat nothing when you're doing that. Just eat that stuff. I did it about 3 times in the woods out there. And then I had my breath from there. Started scraping. So when it done time, come, I did it again. That same day. So when I got home, I did the same thing again that evening. And made it. And so the next year, I went back. The break off down there, he gave me another examination, it was gone. The doctor knew what happened. I said, I ain't had it no more. So I never told him what I'd done. Never done no else no more. Then I used to have to tighten up and gag. I'm doing good. I was scared to eat. There's a lot of stuff he told me what to get. And that stuff on the pine tree, you can see that stuff on there. And that stuff will kill a heartburn. And I had been working the woods. One day, my aunt got my lunch, you know, before the answer, so. And I thought about my daddy told me to do. When she don't pat me in the woods, I took that and cut about 3 or 4 of them up. And get them pat me, get them pat me on, to drink water. I just feel like I had a big bowl of food. And I would rest that day all day long, for that evening. Went home. Hit it for a year.
What, them palmetto cabbage thing?
Yeah, them palmetto cabbage. You can live off of
them. Yeah,
I pulled up tight and I ain't no food.
I ate them when I was a boy and I eat it sometime in the woods. It wanted to look real good. I tried it. I have them a lot, but I just like it.
And them garberry good for toothpaste. You take them garberry and chew them up. It's building, it's real building. But I did a sun spray with it. I had a toothpaste and I chewed them leaves up. It's not a toothpaste. Like a bound.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff the place know what to get us and the medicine in the woods.
See, but that sugar poison strychnine, I remember she told me that. how to meet that stone buck. But she never showed how to meet. Because then if Beaver had a thrash, that mama used to take a fat lot of stone and get a fork and get a bone, a white bone, put that found that fat meat about big, and then we go in that bowl down there and get that oil out there, really big thing, and that'd kill the thing. I did my turn that the same way. And that came out to the doctor too much. I always got one with my doctor on up. You can get a pecking on your hand, you get a penny, and it's a fat meat. You put that penny right on top of your finger and hand there, and that fat meat starts to tie it up. All that fish to come out of there. What happened to me one time? I had to put the barbed wire on the fence there. It was so big too. I put a pin in there, and some fat meat on there, and put that red cross in. I think bust that nut. It's a drawing. You can feel the drawing.
That
pin of drawing? Yeah. See that thing right there?
Yeah.
Barbed wire did it. Barbed wire fence. I couldn't have fence. And that thing didn't touch my finger. I never get there.
It's hole up, isn't it?
Yeah, slow, and that the meat draw it out there. Yeah. That's where that thing really jump down here. You hit down there, you feel it jumping down there.
Now, when y'all were in the middle of the woods, how did you know where you were? How were you able to navigate through the woods?
Oh, you mean when you're chipping?
Yeah, when you're working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we know where you're at. You join your work, you know. You can tell one when you're going to join your boxes. You can tell a tree that you chip and one didn't chip, and we just fall out of that way. When you come back, you join your wake. And then you have you been a bucket so much you know about where you're at, and you go back to the same place.
Now how about when the sun was getting ready to go down, it was kind of dark, how'd you know how to get out of the woods and get back to where you're?
Well, we don't hardly stay out there till that late, but anyhow, if you did, we can get out of it. Don't been in there so much.
And knew that you knew how. You
work your boxes long enough, you'll know just where you're at.
That's in your own house. You know where to go in, where to come out here.
You got to go a certain way anyway. You do. It's like you start down here this end, and start next week when you get run, make a round and around. You start the same way. But you go to chipping your box all kind of ways, it's kind of bad. Just have a certain way.
If you don't chip no box a certain way, you're chipping all kind of weed to work you to death.
Yeah, you just go certain to take it in a strand, just a strip and carry it, and then you come back around and join that. Go back around. You just go all kind of weed to work
you to death. Work you to death.
Now, you mentioned children making toys out of wood, like the wagon. And
yeah, I've done that.
Is there, were there any other workers or you yourself that used the timber to make any kinds of crafts or furniture or anything like that?
No, I ain't seen none of that when I was making the wagon, but now furniture are made out of some kind of wood stuff, but I ain't seen nobody making them.
Yeah, me benching, you took them two bowls, me benching, the wagon and stuff.
Yeah, the old wooden wheel wagon, all that be wood, nail,
yeah.
Wooden nail.
I've had mine made, I had two long sticks. And my front axle, I had a bowl group, like that, see? And I got to push it, I turn the wheel where I want to go.
I seen a wooden nail.
I seen a wooden nail too.
You made out of wood. You nail what you drive, made out of wood.
You got to go through that piece there, and the piece down there, like that thing there. You got all the way through there, that piece down there, I seen it.
Did workers ever have any types of games or contests in the woods, who's the best worker, and try to compete with each other, anything like that?
No, I ain't never seen none of that. They had a man had a black bow he put up to Roy one time, first time I seen that, put up to tell who was the best chipper and all that. Put the name up there. But I ain't seen that for one time, that was in 56.
But they do be trying to outwit the other man though.
Oh yeah, some of them
they do.
They be chipping at each other, but they won't be telling each other.
But I didn't tell him about it.
No.
I was kidding, but he didn't know it.
He didn't tell me tell the hell, he got changed down here.
Yeah, him. Every night
I ain't know nothing about that.
I couldn't get him.
Thought I would have made him chip some.
I wanted to get the top, see, but I didn't make it there.
But see, you wouldn't let me know that. I'm laying there drinking. I'd have tightened up soon up then. But then you never told me.
I could talk to them mother, though. You got to learn. I could talk to him. You never knew that. I met him one time. Man.
Yeah, that's since we left Florida. That's in Florida, but that
was. Fred Hart knew it, too, because I told him about it.
Fred ain't never mentioned
it. You asked Fred, you tell him.
Fred ain't never told me.
I said, where's he going? I said, I'm getting this week. It's really there. I tried to get me again. I said, no, I can't get him.
Did workers ever talk about places that didn't really exist that they'd like to go, like Dreamlands or... I've read about a place called Diddy Wah Diddy.
Diddy Wah Diddy. Now, I heard Diddy Wah Diddy, but I don't know where that is.
That no place. He just made that up.
That's a name.
Do you know anything about it?
No, he ain't no Diddy Wah Diddy. Because we used to say, if I'm going to
Diddy Wah Diddy. Didn't they have that on a record, Diddy Wah Diddy?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I said, I'm going to Diddy Wah Diddy. Where that is? Because I know where it is.
But I ain't never. You just know no place, but now it might be a place, but I don't know it.
I ain't no fine. Never think we had.
What was supposed to be in Diddy Wah Diddy, whether it was real or not?
I don't think it's real. He asked me if somebody made it up. Like today, somebody go snack hunting at night. Snack hunting, you know? You get a crocus act. Because one night, he said, you want to go snack hunting? I said, yeah. My mom said, you can't my name in the woods snacking at night. You get a big old latch, you know? And I hold a sack. And the bird, I fly up and fly in the sack, you know, and I bring him home. The mother let me go out there. He wrote him and leave me out there in the woods at night. Called snacking. But it wasn't real.
It wasn't real?
Uh-uh.
Well, that's why I never believed in that.
Snacking.
Do you remember any stories that workers used to tell about this place? What would they say that was there, whether or not it was...
Diddy Wah Diddy? No, I ain't heard too much about that. No. I just heard Diddy Wah, that's all. I ain't heard too much about it.
He just said no place like that could mean. I ain't find nowhere in the book. I knew in the mouth. I looked for it.
Now, was it possible for workers to retire? I mean, what would retirement be like, and how would you be able to retire?
Well, all I know when they are, most of them work 7 times till they get old, where they can't even work. That's the only time they retire, is work till they can't go. Mm-hmm. Some of them be up in age, and some of them, you know, get disabled or work kind of young.
Well, yeah, I knew about the people working 10 times I was coming up.
But they didn't have no limit when they was coming up my age, when I was coming up there. An old man worked longer, they could shift.
Them people back then, the old men, they live a long time.
Yeah.
Well, they get a lot of exercise.
Yeah, a lot of them. 80-something be chipping boxes. I don't know.
80-something years old.
I know a man with 80-something chipping boxes. I'm down that. He said, I'm the only guy in his life.
That man about died over there, what his name was, Mr. Charlie Hart?
Yeah.
He was 80-something like chipping trees. I mean, putting trees, that me or you. We were old. We get a lot of exercise down in the woods. They're walking all the time. I'd really be out there right now walking. I feel better around the tree like go to work.
Yeah, I said, so
you feel good. You sweat. And another thing I believe that the people don't sweat like they used to a long time ago. They sweat that during out their bar. They stayed in there calling to be sick, that's what I believe. Yeah. I sweat the other week. That did me good.
Yeah, I'd be more healthy when I was working the temperature than I am now.
Yeah.
I'm sick, funny feeling. See, I do a lot of sweating. See, sweating good for me, but sitting up here in this boat, you can't sweat.
You never sweat. That joint being your body. I believe that. So when you sweat with that sweat come out the bar, so you need to feel good.
That's the reason I rake yard. A lot of time I get out in the rake yard and sweat, I feel way younger better than sitting up here in a chair. That's the truth when I'm walking too.
I know the first victim that big mirror down there. He retired, he just sat right down. For 2 years he was dead. You watch that, if he retired quick, they sat out there and died, but you see them keep working, they do a long time. See, I'm 67 years old. I'd be 67, but I can outrun you right now. I can do a lot of things, people can do, young people can. When I was in the woods, I was working. When I worked, can't be, I worked them guys down there. You just quit. You know, picking a big, long, 20-foot bowl that wide, the guy worked half a day and quit. I see that whole month, and I got to look at them D-Bop right there. We showed them D-Bop. We ran them D-Bop right there. The guy come back to have their leave. I never did leave. I stayed there with it.
What was the smell like in town after the still was charged?
Or spend my tipping time, you can smell that spirit.
Do you like the smell of it, or?
Yeah, it smells all right, the tipping time.
Was it harmful to you? Was it harmful to your health to breathe in?
I don't know. I believe it's good for my health, good. I believe. I believe when I was working tipping time in the woods, inhaling it, I believe that's good. I still believe that. That acid won't be too good, but I'm talking about the tipping time.
Yeah, I know. The more people tell me a long time we were straight pudding and drink the water cup with that 10 times. So that was good for it, purified.
Boy, I used to drink water out the 10 times cup when I was like, it just dip and come and ran that evening or something. Next morning, I don't even go to my jug. I just drink out the cup. Them cup was brand new, and the water just clear rain overnight and fresh. And 10 times, see that little skim of gum on top of the water. I just drank that. But now they put acid on it, no, I quit.
So was that good? The water good with the turpentine?
Yeah, yeah. I believe it was healthy for you.
Because I know my mother, you know, you take a teaspoon and drop a turpentine on it. I ain't talking about the acid now, I'm talking about the old time.
Yeah, I
know. Nine drops of sugar. That purified your whole bloodstream.
That turpentine is good.
Yeah, it's good. It purified your whole blood. And I was to have some now. See, but they've got night poison with the acid in it. Oh, yeah. That turpentine good for the G too, but I can tell you about it on that.
Here's something in the bottle. That's what he give me these little bits.
You can't take that, can you, Rick?
No, I know.
You can't take that.
That'll clear you up. Mm-hmm. Smells good, though.
Yeah, he put something in it. That's when he want them boxes chipped, and that one I tell you about. He made it. He give me that.
That's double good for
him. That turpentine mean a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. And this is, they put that stuff in margarine, but I had a book on it. They put it in medicine. They go in all kind of stuff. That turpentine used to go in them steering wheel and them cars and them tires there. I had a book on that.
Yeah.
You do a lot of that stuff. It mixed with it. It mixed thing out of it.
Now, do y'all remember any festivals or celebrations held in the camp? Anything like that? How were holidays celebrated in the camp?
Shit, we didn't have too many of them. Them on the 4th day of July.
And Christmas.
For Christmas, you know, it's not like they do now. No.
But the same thing, doing that 4th of July and Christmas.
Yeah, 4th day of July, sometimes they have a barbecue in the quarters. The boss man sometimes give you a barbecue. Like that. But Christmas time, they give you a little, sometimes some of them will give you a little bonus. Some of them don't give you nothing. So that's the way that be.
Now, were either of you ever drafted into the military?
No, I didn't pass. I went twice, but turned it out.
Volunteer when I was 17 years old. I was in Grand Florida.
But I didn't volunteer.
I volunteered. Until I was 18 years old, but I wasn't. I was 17. And they found it out in about 3 or 4 months, came back home. So on my driver's license, 1 year after here now. And I let them gang, but I told them that I want to fight for my country. The Vietnam War, you know? That my country fight. See, our country was winning. And they ran and talked in the room back there about 20 or 30 minutes. They started me and sent me back home. So I get 18, we just back. I never was just back. He's been sending me off. I just told him to talk fast, too.
Did any workers in your camp ever get drafted? Or did the boss man try to keep them from going?
Yeah, boss man. Some of them, they talk about some of them were good workers. They tried to keep some of them. When they got right showing up, they're trying to keep them out there, they're no good.
No, oh, they couldn't kill them out then, they changed.
No, when they won't need you bad, that won't be no good. They got a boss man too, he's bad. That's the truth. But one time, you know, when it first started, the job, but when they get rough, you know, that won't do no good. They too fast.
I know one time, I don't know for sure that those young boys got rough around there. Being bad around there, I think they put them in the army.
One of them bad fellows was steel and light and over there.
They sent them over there. Yeah, sent them over there. They were bad, you know. Good with them bad people that they want to fight.
They need to put some of this race coming up now in the army.
They sure do.
With steel and all this rotten dope and stuff. But they ain't going to work. They'll steal where they work.
And they've been given stealing enough.
No, me either. I just started going to jail when I got drunk. That's the biggest thing. Me doing anything then, but never in my life.
I quit drinking.
If I didn't drink, then I would have never been in jail.
I think in 1999 when I quit drinking. Never had a stop time ticket since then.
I know what a jailhouse was until I started drinking.
I never done a stop sign. But I had DUI, though. I had a DUI, but I still said DUI. I said, would you get my life back this time? I never drank anymore. So it took me 2 years, and I got him back. I had a little trouble out of me. Everybody got a ticket. It's in 1991.
Have any of you been in any festivals held for Turpentiners since Turpentine's been gone?
No.
Any gatherings or celebrations held for reunions?
No, I haven't. But I think they had one home for about 2 years ago. But I came to them about a white flag.
Had what?
I went down to Homerville.
Yeah.
And when I saw them hats, I felt still all that old stuff.
No, I had liked it that time. Like I said, I was able to waken. I had in and out. I would wake some, but if I didn't wake none, I'd like to be around it, you know, like it.
Mm-hmm. You miss it?
Yeah, I miss it. I miss it wholly.
Soon you get to where you feel good. Well, when you tired now, they'll quit.
I had to wake up.
I want to go back to the woods so bad, just to walk around through the woods. Just
yeah, I'm used to going. That's what gets me so hard.
I used to run all the time. I used to doing stuff. You'd have been, I'd have been gone a long time ago. I'd be over here in the hanging room. I'd be on the move all the time. I'd go home, get about 20 minutes, I'm going again. Back over here on the dining room. In the woods, if I go to work out there, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do and come home.
Now what has working turpentine and working in the woods taught you about life in general? What has working turpentine taught you about life? How has it made you a stronger person? Or
well, I just like it myself, and I enjoy working it. And it's a hell of a job.
Sure is.
Yeah.
You ought to be sick though.
You know, you ought to be sick.
You ought to be sick. You might get the bad cold now.
Turpentine man told me that, and I find it out. He was telling me, he said, you know, turpentine person live longer than the rest of them.
You do.
He said, you can watch that. He told an old man, told me that, and he ain't but lying.
You got that exercise to get your
blood. He said, because you do a lot of exercise, you inhale at turpentine, and so that's it.
And sawmill people do too. And I did too. Sawmill people do a long time too.
Anytime you can exercise, you see you chipping about your arm going like this all day long. That's
all
because you're sitting in a chair and nothing moving, right? And you're still up and still. Your leg be going and your arm. That's all day in the day. The exercise. Sweating too. And that means no matter how good sweating, I feel good.
Mm-hmm. That more water spitting away.
Now, what do y'all see as the main reason turpentine's gone?
I don't know. All I know is I heard that they can buy it from across the water cheaper than they can make it over here. That's all I heard. But I didn't thought it was going to ever play out over here myself. I thought it was going to be all real job.
Look at, and I ought to put some more, and start back there 10 times again. I think it'll be better. You got some people work that stuff. I go back out there.
You think there's any hope for it coming back?
I don't believe it.
I don't know about that.
If I
had
about 20,000, and then it turned out to you, I'd put me some money. What?
Yeah, y'all would go back into working turpentine if it was still around?
Yeah, I would.
I'll try it.
I'd go out there and do it.
I don't mind trying it.
Get back to gym again, then. I'm pretty done.
I know I wouldn't stow up and stiff like I is since I quit.
Yeah.
I'll be kind of stow up that morning. I'll get out there and get the exercise. I go to feeling good. Look like I don't want to knock off. And I am to knock off. That's true.
Ever you been wrecking the woods, you see a big old bunch on it, so I'm gonna get to have a knockoff. You go really good and keep on going. You don't want to stop.
Yeah, I have knockoff in the evening kind of early. I'm gonna get these shoes in and I'm gonna quit. Next thing I'm wide open, I'm gonna forget about what I said. I'm going way down. I said, yo, I look back at the vision and still going.
Something tell you, go get that little bitch on. Yeah, Spade, go get that little bitch on. You mind up one day I was working the woods there? And I was so hungry, you know. I was way on the spread down there. It was a good place to get down there. I was going back to eat. And they come back and get it. So you can go, you can get it. Keep on going. And I kept working down there. And I got put up. And I brought all that tone back out there and finished it. Not too bad with. I sort of told him to keep going. You get
I'm
it.
Doing the same.
So you can get it. Keep going. I went home too. And I got filled up to the top, and I went home no more. And I got couldn't carry that. I still went home. So I couldn't tell anybody.
I had water bottle all over my woods. Well, I think I need a drink of water. I set me a 2-liter soda bottle by a tree. I get there and need some water. I just drink me some water and keep getting up. Get me some more water. I got another bottle down there in the corner. Sometimes I don't see my dinner bucket about 2 o'clock.
How can the four feet went down there? Rico, down there? 4 feet down there? To the front. I was shipping down there. I had a jug of water there. I got my lunch bag down there. That morning I forgot to get some water from the truck. And I was hard that morning until 12 o'clock come. I went to a pan with no water there. And I went real in the, heard how we ran, did you keep water down there?
Yeah.
There wasn't none there. I went all the way down to the 40 feet up there. I was about to fall. I was about out. I didn't come in. And I finally got it. That water was the most important thing in your life in the woods, the water.
Yeah.
But I couldn't find water to die that day. You were hot too. I was staying, trying to find that water. You had the water with
this? I had water all over my buckets. I had to walk and get a chip up so I know when I need to go right to that tree. Got another way down in the next corner.
He told me about that water in the woods. He told me about it.
Yeah.
And I started putting water like he did all over the woods.
That saved a lot of walking. You got to go back to you. Sometimes you'd be pulling your in a bucket of gray on the pulling from the end of that house.
Down to that?
Yeah, another about up there, the flash food. You'd be way off fast as Gavin tell me. And we're going to walk back now.
You drink that water, you still can go, but you don't eat nothing.
And I light another thing. I'll take me a tree deep, chip back to my thing. I'll walk, just chip my way back. And I'll eat me a bite, and then I chip all the way back to that corner. Just keeping told me still walking, just walking and working. That's what I like. You can do what you want. You can coach your temper like you want. Nobody to be bothered. And you can work in peace like that.
You do a lot of work, too.
Yeah.
Somebody old.
Somebody boy, you know what to do.
Yeah. You don't, you want to get mad at somebody who's taking it all the time. You get frustrated. You don't want to do it. But you even know I do more work by myself. You overlook at me doing it. Because I slow down again. Take my time.
See that folding chair right there? I had one or two of them in the woods. Them days I don't feel good, I was open it out and stretch out. Feel good, you know. I'd get up to them, get up the stretch, go away. Yeah, I had them in my woods too. You know, sit down on the ground wet like it ran, you know, you can't sit on a naked dirt. You know, sit out there.
I used to pick my every morning going over, then about 6 o'clock. He'd be sort of dark. He'd be dark with him. You go every morning. And I never come that morning every day. Never. I tell a lot of people this. I don't care when you go to West Island, what time you go, he'd be up and be ready to go.
Yeah, I'll go to bed with that.
I would be good either. If I'm late, I ain't coming. I can't be at 12:30 for 5 minutes. Before 12:30, I'll come in the West.
Yeah.
That's where I'd be. And I'll be busy that way.
Yeah, I'm used to that. I've been on job, but the boss man had me to go wake up the man.
Yeah.
I woke up the woods on the llama too, over there to Hilliard, Florida. The woods on the heat was. Me said, get up in the morning. I said, you mean I must wake you up? You the boss, man? He said, yeah, I might oversleep.
You got to be on time.
I'll go there and call him. He'd get up. I'd be done eat breakfast and ready to go in to work. And he just getting up.
Well, that's all I got. Do y'all know of anything else you'd like to tell me that I didn't ask about?